thing that life. We are being the fear. We can hear the fear. In the church, we got a place to be in the family room. Thank you, John. John is my favorite. I'm just working. He's my best friend. He's a good worker, but I'm really excited to share this message with you. We're on Fearless week number two, and then it's like a meeting, Good Friday. And then we're just going to keep going. And we really, Good Friday service is always really special. We're going to have special music. It's a really good opportunity for those people that don't go to church. Bring them and just sort them around on Good Friday, because Good Friday is the best thing to have in the past. So, just get them, keep getting them. Anyway, so the title of my message this morning is that Jesus will cause you to stop praying. That Jesus will cause you to stop praying. Now, I was thinking about this message, and so far, the confession can be that you're pretty bad. So, the confession is I watch a variety of TV series. I usually don't watch TV sometimes. I just think it's important. But not sometimes. I don't watch it sometimes. That was a joke. I don't watch them. So, Monday night, there was a show. So it's called The Bachelor. Okay? So this young man, a single poor young man, didn't find a girl from the street. They put him on the TV, and they give him 25 women to choose from. And basically, he's got 2 months to fall in love with the love of his life. Now, I think to myself and think that this is just a huge risk. He's got 25 women. You have to come in 2 months, you have to come in there and actually only one out of those 25. Now, of course, I better watch it often. This past Monday night, I'm very intense. And the funny thing is that actually my wife watched in another room. And I watched in the room. That wasn't really watching, it was just because of the kids. But so we watched it, and it was an unexpected to me, and I actually expected this one to be just for you. So, but then he chose the other woman, the blonde. So, I think to myself, wow, please, listen to all the luck in the world, because 2 months really is not enough to get to know someone. And so, for all these people in the house, I'm crazy, but if you're the baby that's in my chicken, then I'll just give it a little more time. But don't rush, it's your hopes, okay? Unless it's God, of course, if it's God, then and marry them right away. But hey, it takes time to get to know the person. So, the text that we're going to be using today is found in John 14:12. And this is what the text says in the Bible. Jesus is going to his disciples, he says, "Whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." Oh my God, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. Now, Jesus is going to say, they you might do the work that I've been doing. He actually said, you will do the work that I've been doing, and you will do the greatest things that I have done. Now, this is the truth that we need to be reminded every single day of Christmas. Now, thinking about the disciples, he's been with Jesus for about 2 years in the ministry where Jesus was doing through his wife and ministry. And here's what happens. All of a sudden, they come back and they take Jesus away. Jesus taking away from now, all the things Jesus has said, all the things that Jesus has done, all of a sudden just become true. Disciples just started to be fear, thinking to themselves, what's going to happen next to these people are Savior? And all, even all these words came to their point of their mind, see, how much we do all these great things, but look what happened. And they were probably in a very dark moment in their life, thinking for what's going to happen next. So there was 2 days Jesus had done, and they had lost all their hope, but then Jesus rose from the dead. It was risen. They saw him and they started believing. they have a new courage, a new faith, the message to each other. And then they went all the way in, taking everything else they could along the way, showing us what true faith is all about. Now, here's the first telling point for the way that it happened. The adventure of your life begins the minute you stop playing with truth. The adventure of your life begins the minute you stop playing with truth. Now, there's a new island in America, in North America, well away in this continent. And this island is not a typical island that people would fall into, sex and drugs and money and materialism. This is a completely different type of island. And this idol is, Now, I get this coupon once a week in my mind, and I was thinking to myself, what's the risk that we take in this society? We could call it a risk. This is what I see. You go to a grocery store on a weekend to shop, do some grocery shopping with all the coupons you've collected, you get into it. That might be the most risky trip you've ever taken in your life. For most people, you go into that counter to check out all the groceries and you just go to all the coupons right in front of you. You have to check out all the food and you just think to yourself, why didn't I just come early to buy my groceries? And if you are looking for more than just a trip to Walmart, or Superstore is better, you can use that one, right? So those of you that don't know, there's a bank culture better than carrying bottle papers. You can just kind of put things up in the spot. If you're looking for one, just take the grocery store. Or if you are one of those people that, you used to believe that the ultimate goal of life is just to come down to your grave with this. You can just call them safely, like nothing happened. Or maybe you're one of those people that really you want to have more than just a shame and attention. What a relief that you don't have to do. You don't need to face them. Are you ready for this? We don't have time to do that because it's really quick. We've got 3 points for you. I'm going to get the paper. I'm going to say that there's 4 points for you. And then we're going to go into 5 steps of dismantling this particular summer. So we're going to go to these last things to do really quick. So number one is this. Brain space limits our impact. Brain space limits our impact. Now, brain space will always limit us. You will always send us to that road of deep standard and not fulfilling too much and having unfulfilled dreams. So, for me, for those of you that know my story, of the feeling to leave the comfortable and comfortable here and live in Canada, making that decision to come, I'm thinking of myself right now, I would never in my life had an impact that I had to do if I didn't make that choice to come here in the first place. But there was also another thing that I thought about when I was telling you, I didn't have much. She asked me for a lot, and she didn't have any more. I actually only had my dad took the biggest risk of his life to give me only $120, but all I really had was my children. So, and I'm thinking to myself, my dad is letting me go to a country where I'm actually going to school. I'm accepting to school. And the scholarship is about $5,000 to $7,000 per year. Now, if you ask me a question right now, David, how do you pay for the school? I tell you, I have money. Dollars want to provide it. I met people along the way, people that gave me envelopes. I don't know what I mean with these people. But somehow, along the way, going to my school, God always provided. So, I'm thinking to myself, I could have, you know, we always keep a safer way. And I could have said, well, some things I really need money. I couldn't really go into these things. But because I could take that step and say that I'm here and all the connections that I need, all the issues that I need, and the food and the people, the leaders, the churches, it's just amazing what God has done over the past few years in my life. Just because I decided to find Him and take that. Now, do you have any of that money left for that belief that God is calling you to take? The impact that you can make is towards the middle of your need. You will need the fear, the handcuffs of fear that hold you down. That's what you will actually need in life. Number two, playing with faith strengths our faith. Playing with faith strengths our faith. Now, I can't find a single verse in the scripture. Actually, there's a lot of verses in the scripture, but there's one that Jesus is actually calling us to come and follow me. The scripture says, come and follow me. And it's not followed by, come and follow me, and play a fit. Jesus says, come and follow me. One of my favorite speakers for this generation, Francis King, for those of you who know Francis King, he's got a really good perspective for this. And he was talking about, you know, we as Christians, we can start building the faith life, comfortable life. You know your struggles and failures. You should just, you know, go ahead and take an adventure in your faith walk. And here's a sort of statement that I think is really good. I'm going to try to listen to this in a second. That is up here for a reason, just like that's the one here. And he can just show this picture. So this next picture is a picture of a young lady flying in the air. And to those of you that, I don't know if you watched the Olympics, but this is actually one of the disciplines that is really dangerous, actually. It's a balancing beam. I don't know if you've seen it, but you get up on the balancing beam and you're supposed to take a risk, to jump, to slip, and do all these crazy things. Right? You guys ever see this? Yeah? It's scary. Sometimes it's scary. I wonder if they're going to land on their head or their feet, but they somehow always end up on their feet. So, this is my audience. So, this is what he was saying. He said, you know, we're supposed to be, we're supposed to be actually the being that's bound to be in our lives. We're supposed to take some risks. We can make certain things for God. And this is what happens. Something that happens to us, and we're just going, oh, I can't do this. And we feel pretty like, sit down and go, oh, I don't want to take it first. If I do that, someone's going to, you know, come down. And then all of a sudden, we come to the point where we just sort of come and hug the beam, like this, and hold on to a real tight. So you just kind of hang on there, and you just kind of like, oh, yeah, you know. I'm going to say, I'm going to get some really great experience. You know what, kids? I don't know if I can say this is true to them. I think it's been hard for them, and maybe parents have some feeling just for them. I'm just going to go 30 maybe. Maybe I want to be 30. I'm just going to give maybe 1% to my finances and I'll do this. And, oh, you know what? God, please, just God, please, 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 God. Now, imagine, what is the judge supposed to say to that kind of performance? You want to think, but what is he supposed to say to people that just don't take a risk? What kind of score are they supposed to get? Now, if you try and take any passage in the Bible, you'll see that all the people are saying that almost every single one of them have to take some risks. And they have to have their faith and trust in God. In order to see the best in the system for the moment. But that's exactly how it's going to be with you as well. You see, the disciples were devastated, they haven't had courage, and they're doing this work in the government. And you're looking that they've got to do courage to do great things for them. You see, our faith really gets developed only when we need to take that risk. We will respond to the power of God and take the risk. That's what we want to take away from the risk that God can actually come to. Knowing that God can actually do what He can do. Amen? And I'm going to go to the next point. Number three is prayer that saves stunts our growth. Prayer that saves stunts our growth. Now, it almost always stunts our growth from our faith. Let him develop, we can grow any deeper in our relationship with God, the free Holy Spirit. You see, at the men's breakfast at the beginning of this year, so there's a God's bucket list for your life. And what would be on God's bucket list? You know, we all have a bucket list, and the things that we want to do before we leave, right? Maybe. And then I say about what would God's bucket list look for our life? There's some things that we want to accomplish before we take the bucket, right? So, one of the things in that message that I said in the beginning of this year was that I really believe that God really wants you to go out and take a mission trip. And go out and experience what it's like for people that have nothing. And what it's like for when you have nothing, and when you depend, the only thing that you depend on for food and clothing is by yourself. Now, because we're living in North American society, I really believe that everyone is going to experience at least once the burden on and go overseas and experience what it's like to really just remember. It really changes people. It really, now, can be risky at times, but when you make that step of faith, God can really teach us to do things. He really can. And I encourage you to do that. Now, when you take a risk, and God teaches you, and the only thing that he does is just brings you up even more. He wants to rediscover this faith in you. This faith that comes on you. And this is going to become more for you. That's what he does. Number four. Bearing his faith favors our hearts. And if you're a Christ follower and you follow Jesus, I can assure you that Jesus is going to call you to do something that you need to accomplish. Something that for you, thinking about it right now, just probably seems impossible to do. But Jesus always challenges us that He wants to do things. He wants us to accomplish those things for Him, for His kingdom. You know, He might ask you to go on this system, but He might respond, "No, I can't." Think about that. I ask you to talk to that person, but you did a dirty job. You can't do that, right? You might ask you to forgive that person. Jesus, thank you so much. You can't forgive them. You might ask you to be a small group of others. And you might not be able to say, you know, and you don't have to be able to ask them. You might just ask you to wait for you gotta be kidding. What did you do? Like, if you want to ask us to pay your debts, all you have to say, you know what? If this is what you're confident to do, then I'm gonna do this. And I can tell you, the moment you do that, you're gonna feel a lot of emotion. Because I saved that question just only in my opinion. But God opened the possible. And taking those steps of faith is an alternative to just being bored and just dying, bored and dying. Really, taking those steps of faith makes us alive, makes us more alive. And I don't want you to be one of those people at the end of your life and look back and you fix yourself, but there's a lot of risks that I could have taken and I didn't. There's a lot of conversations that I could have had and I didn't. There's a lot of people that I could have touched and I didn't because I just don't have enough courage to come up and go ahead and do things for God. So God is telling us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And He wants us to take that step of faith and walk in water. And there's a story in the Bible about Peter walking in water. And I really believe, that we all, every single person that sees something, has an amazing amount of potential and gifting that God wants to use for His kingdom. And we can make all excuses in the world. Right? We can't be the ones to do and take care of. But God has called each and every one of us to do great things for Him. You see, the only thing that can stop you is the fear. You know, the road to that filling your destiny is filled with holes and holy guidance and fear, but if you have enough courage, God will help you get to that road. Now, the story in the Bible that we probably have many times in the head, it's just a moment, it's fine. Jesus left His disciples on the island, and Peter and all the other disciples were in the boat, and they were just in the lake, and then there was a night, and there was a storm that came through. So what happened is Jesus started walking in the water, and He started walking towards the boat, and the disciples sort of were confused. They were awake and scared, fearful, and then what happens next is Peter looks up and he sees Jesus, and he says, the text says, Jesus, if this is you, come on, tell me to come to you. And then Peter got down out of the boat, he walked the water, and there was Jesus. So as he walked, now we heard a story, and then Peter took his eyes off Jesus and told us something. We heard that story. Right? The moment you decide to focus on the fear and the storm in your life is the moment when you start thinking. But here's another twist to this story. There's another 11 disciples that are sitting in the boat. They did not take a risk of faith to walk in water. Because they just placed once in a lifetime opportunity to actually walk in water. Because there was a thing in the sea. actually out of this story, he is a hero. Because he actually took that step of faith. He started walking on water. And he was filled with faith. And even though his faith wasn't the greatest, he was fearful, he started walking, he started seeing, but he had some faith to step out. And that's what God is calling us to do, not to let the fear grip us down, but to actually take those steps. And here's five really quick steps of dismantling this idol of faith. We have this feeling in Brookings, and I'm going to go really quick. And I'll tell you right now, it's not even a really easy, okay? It's not easy. But it will help you. It will really help you if you take this mantle, one by one, if you keep taking it, God is really going to come through. Now, number one, you need to stop saying no to everything just because it's true. Okay? Now, there's a thing going around. They say, you've got to start saying no. That's the point. You have to start saying no so you can get the rules in order. You've got to get your life balanced out. So you can make it. You don't get yourself burnt out in whatever you do in your life. But you need to stop saying no to God just because you're afraid. Okay? Because the fear, which is a natural thing for us, is to have fear. And it's just a state of mind, really. That's really all it is. It's in your mind. And it's not real. And so, just thought about this example, just recently, the way things are going, just 2 weeks ago, it's really there was a meeting down there, the first time, two people from life, and I remember, it was connected with our youth, and we had to go, I had to go, they called me up that Sunday, happened Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, I had to go over, and they asked me to pray with them. So, you can imagine the moment of this person and darkness, and I'm sitting there and watching these people praying with them. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to bless them. You know, and it was really scary. It was really scary. Mother was there crying. The whole thing about one person was really bad. And I'm thinking to myself, just sitting there, how am I supposed to do this? And that moment that the mom asked me, I remember Pastor Kevin was calling that afternoon, sitting at that back. Another call Pastor Kevin was like, he's saying that after this, you know, I don't want to be a hungry man. What am I supposed to say? I didn't even know this young man, but he was young and he was 19. And I didn't know the family, I was very close to the family. And, you know, talking to me right now, talking about me, it was a strange thing to do, but and I can tell you, the moment we took that step for us to go ahead and do that, you know, God came through, His power is present. It was the darkest place He took me, that you know, and that burned the darkest place, but we were the light that was shining in the darkness. And that same moment, just confusion and chaos, God was really speaking to us, and bringing it in. That is the passage that I spoke, the words that I spoke, those are the powerful words. And I really hope and believe, and I know for sure that God saw some peace that morning with these young people that were sitting there, probably with the same peace. And what would have been like if you said, such a bad thing? See, God is giving us opportunities. He can't be just that. I don't mind me saying specifically with you, it's the same thing. I mean, there's a lot of you that are struggling with. There's a lot of good youth, but then there's a lot of youth that are just struggling with depression and suicide and anxiety. It's just a really new thing that we're growing up and our kids are growing up because they're so isolated and they're teens and they have no real friends. And it's a scary thing to work with youth now, it really is. But hey, God has taught me to do it. God has called me to be the light to young people in this generation. So, you know, don't say no because it just seems strange. You know this feeling that God is asking this to you. To fix you, to serve you, to belong to you. And you may be a little afraid to do it, but who? Let me show you this promise to you that the best thing in your life. God is going to come to you with some great things. Number two, you need to start praying some dangerous prayers. You see, we're not used to praying dangerous prayers, are we? Now, prayer is what I do most. I've probably talked about this before, and you can have prayers for the whole year about prayer. But prayer is one of the most powerful tools that God has given us for Christians to use to accomplish great things. So, you know, oftentimes we focus our attention on idols. And we say, well, I need more peace, I need more death, I need more faith, and I need more peace, and it becomes all about us. But the more dangerous prayer that we can pray is God, you. God uses it, and the moment we do that prayer, God is going to use it. And then the second way that we pray, we can pray, we can pray, is God will be there. Because it goes without saying, during God's way, sometimes it's not easy to pray God's way, but it's the best way. And when we do things God's way, when we do His will, even though it's sometimes exceeding, because in that moment of prayer, even telling God, please take this up away from me, that you will be done. See, that's what we need to learn, to pray. Take some dangerous prayers. There's some great things, there's a lot of need out there. We need to have to use us to meet those needs. We just have to step out and say, God, excuse me. And we're going to be prayer for you. We're going to be doing that. It's not easy to do. Open up the doors, open up the opportunities, and then you do that. I promise you, God is going to bring some people, and they're going to ask you some questions, and they're going to continue for you to be a light. It's going to make you know. You know, the statement is very clear. Whatever you pray in my name, you will have to get this opportunity to pray. That's what Jesus said to me. Now, number three, get out your wallet. This is a good one. If you don't have a carry wallet anymore, I don't. It's probably good opportunity for me to put all this stuff on. In the church service, you guys are going to continue to take out people's something and the rest of the world is passed right now. Wallet is one of the things that can hold us down. And, you know, gratitude is one of the healthiest things in our okay? And that's what Pastor Paul says, you know, God loves the social rhythm. God loves everybody, but He loves you and you feel and you feel. So, you know, it does completely counter to the culture that we're living in. Because the culture that we're living in, this is what it does. You have to have more to be happy. You have to have more and more things and more things in order to be happy, okay? But then Jesus says this, you have to give more to actually be happy. And if you've ever given anything in your life, there's joy that comes with you. There's joy that you just feel like, you just press whether it's money or whatever it is, whether it's a piece of clothing that you really hold on to do, whatever that may be, there's joy that you feel, okay? And then, you know, for the world, it's all about taking that's the world that our generation is growing up in our children. And we are growing up with it, just keep pushing the same, you know, it's all about having more. 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 And in the end, if that is really true, for most people, there's a lot of rich people who are very lonely. And if you see the movie in Aviator, Leonardo DiCaprio is going to make a good master, 10 years ago, I think it was. It's actually a true story of John and the late back in the 50s, one of the wealthiest men that John had ever lived. His name was Howard Hughes. He's the one who was in the USC and billions of dollars. He bought half of Las Vegas. He did all these crazy things. And because he bought him a lot of having more, is what's going to make you happy. Take up and have hit aircraft, two basically died. All this money, the end of his life, is a little galaxy. Let's see what happened to him. He was lonely. And he had to die on his own. He was picking up the end of his life. He was very depressed, very lonely, even though he had all the people that were having his life. Because he died on that. But having more will make this happen. If you give him, break the book of repentance in your life. And that means praying with an honesty. It's so dominant in the first church. Generosity is what it's all about. Giving first church. And they didn't even start. The church didn't even start. They were already giving off of their property. And selling everything just to do the work of the Lord. So the generosity is really the way you have to give is just trying to pay off your generosity is very important. It's very important. Number four, stop watching and try living. Stop watching and try living. Now, I brought this chair up here. I brought this chair up here because it sort of represents the chair. I wish I could bring this chair to you. Actually, I don't have one. I don't have one. But here's the most popular chair in America. We recommend it. It's called the LAZ Board. The LAZ Board chair. Now, you don't have to raise your hand if you have this one. No judgment. But let's just pretend this is a LAZ Board chair right here. So comfortable, I guess I have one thing to put my feet out there. And so comfortable, right? And now, we, a lot of people do this. They stay in a lazy boy chair, and they just watch, let's say they watch TV, and they just watch TV, but they watch the TV and watch the consumer chair and just, the last something good happened to them. Oh, look at these people doing the great thing. That's so cool. That's amazing. Well, what's the day today? It's Wednesday. Wednesday, 6:30. You did see this morning, right? Oh, this is incredible. So, well, this is just cool. It's cool. So, what's the day today? It's Wednesday, crazy. Remember the rest of the church? 13 plus, 2 to 9, 7 to 8. That's what you do. What would have happened if we stood up and said, man, there's some great things happening in Africa, man. This event, there's something you can do in church. There's so many things you can do. There's so many things you can do in here. Whether you're sitting Sunday, serving wise, you can do whatever you can do. Just come and talk to me. But you can do so much that we choose to do a beautiful thing. And just sit in it, and sit in it, and let our life take us back. And imagine what would have happened if we just stay out of the relationship, take the week, and we just go every single day, go into the community, and help people clean the city, do all these kinds of things. We would make a couple of months, fix the news, everybody needs to talk. God wants us to get up and say, hey, what is there that I can do? I'm going to stop saying what I can do and I can say, I'm going to stop saying what I can do. That is a good thing. But, what would have happened if you actually tried to stand up and say, hey, is this something that I can do? I'm going to probably do it. I think there would have been anything that I can do. There's anything that I can do. You see, the adventure of your life begins really do something interesting. And at this last point where I want to sort of end, this is what the last point is. Realize what's at stake. Now, the four most depressing words in this English language are, it's just to wait. It's just to wait for a while. Those are the most depressing words because we actually are courageous enough to say to ourselves, I'm just too much. I'm just too close to God. I'm just fine. I'm just so comfortable. But you know, the moment Moses stood up and he decided to overcome his anxiety, he decided to say, hey, listen, I'm too old, I don't speak well. There's so many excuses that he came up with, but the moment he decided to say yes, is the moment that the confidence in the Old Testament work with the nation of Israel. There's so many great things we need to start taking. Really, I'll be the one. Jesus. God does some great things. And that's basically with us. That's how it is. And we need to say yes to God. And we decide to say yes to the moment when our lives change. And our lives start being impactful. And there's so many things that come out of that. I want to do today. We have in our sight, we just keep praying to the end, stating, because it's not going to be finished. We need to listen. We need to hear people say, We're old. Now, we need a new kind of prophet. Not to be a real kind of prophet, but we had a prophet that was a new people of the kingdom of God and die. You're going to die. What we can say to people today is that you are not dead yet. You're not dead yet. Okay? Say it one more time. You're not dead yet. And as long as you have breath in your lungs, as long as you're breathing, God wants to use you. There's purpose. There's a purpose in your life. So which one are you going to be? You're going to be the one that's going to just sit there and do nothing and just watch life pass by and the space is falling to your brain. Or, but you actually don't need to do something. And you stand before the judgment day, which we all will one day. You don't have to get support. It's not that what it's about. You know, God wants us to do great things for Him. He's giving us all the things for Him. He's giving us the best tools. He's giving us prayer. And He's giving us faith. We just have to embrace it and keep going. So right now, it's kind of last year. Close your eyes, and if you want to be clear this way, what I'm going to do, you need to tell me, raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you, but you can pray with me, okay? You can repeat these words as I pray them, and I really believe that God is going to give you a prayer today. Jesus Christ, this morning, we surrender to you. We ask you to come and give us new courage. Help us overcome all the fear, uncertainty, and give us more faith and trust in you, Jesus. Help us so that we can accomplish great things for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, I pray for every single person in this room. I pray that you will bless them and encourage them. Give them new faith. Father God, may every single person in this room accomplish great things. Amen. Amen. Amen.